Well, the criticism of the amount of water needed to grow almonds have become even more heated ever since Governor Jerry Brown ordered mandatory water restrictions in California. But many farmers pushed back on the reports of just how thirsty almonds actually are. Joining us now is Joshua Veers, an ecological engineer and the director of citrus at the University of California, Merced. Professor, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, I want to start off by asking you, do you think that almonds are getting a bad rap here? Is it true that it takes more than a gallon of water to grow one almond?
Well, you know, agriculture is actually a fairly complex affair. And in a state like California that has a varied climate, a varied topography, different soils and different microclimates, where we grow different crops depends on a wide range of different factors. And so despite the fact that we do have a lot of almonds grown throughout the state, the amount of water that's applied to each orchard can certainly vary. And then ultimately, the amount of water or the consumptive use, as we call it, can vary widely as well, in part because of those microclimates and soil conditions.
But it still takes a lot of water to grow almonds, doesn't it?
It takes a lot of water to grow food generally. Just to put it in perspective, you know, most growers might apply about 4 feet of water to a given orchard, so about 4 acre feet over the size of a football field. Now, how many almonds actually gets produced from that orchard depends on a lot of factors, not just the water, but also the nutrients and the quality of the soil and a number of other things. So once you start looking on a per almond basis, it might be a little unfair to say that, you know, all almonds are equal.
But do you think it makes sense in this drought, and especially if this drought goes on for another several years, as some people think that it may, to grow almonds, which do require a lot of water, and frankly, the world would survive without being able to have as many almonds, probably, or at least spending a lot more money for them.
Yeah, I think you raise an interesting point, and I would just continue to say that it's a little bit more complex than that, in the sense that you know, I personally like eating almonds and had almond butter.
As do I, by the way.
Had almond butter for breakfast. But that said, we're making some choices in agriculture with respect to water use that could be done better. And let me give you a few quick examples of that. One, we do a lot of irrigated pasture and alfalfa. In some cases, we, you know, feed that to dairy cows. And I, you know, certainly like eating cheese and ice cream. So not all irrigated pasture or alfalfa would be bad. But in other cases, you know, in fact, we're irrigating alfalfa in very dry parts of the state and shipping that alfalfa to places like China. Now, that export of virtual water in that case may be something that we'd want to reconsider. We certainly grow a lot of cotton in the state, and that's something that we're not eating. So singling out any one producer, I don't think is a fruitful discussion. Discussing where that water comes from, however, I think is worth it. So if we're using groundwater to supply all the irrigation needs of all the almonds, that would probably be an unwise thing to do, in part because at present we really don't know how much groundwater we have.
The mission of your organization, CITRUS, which stands for the Center for Information Technology Research in the Interests of Society, is to find solutions to these problems that we're talking about in California. So if you were to devise a way to grow crops sustainably without a lot of water in California, what would we be growing and eating?
I'd like to think that we would still have a diverse array of things to eat. You know, we grow pomegranates. We grow a lot of citrus fruits. I myself ate some asparagus last night that was delicious. So in that sense, you know, it's my hope that we can continue to grow a wide diversity of crops in California. And I do think that we need to diversify those crops to maintain a healthy and vibrant portfolio of foods. Now, some of the things that we could be doing better, one, integrating the needs of the environment into our agricultural production. And I think there's some interesting things on the way in terms of being able to provide habitat, set back levees for rivers so that we can recharge groundwater, and so forth.
Do you think that there's enough incentive, though, for farmers to try and come up with more effective ways of using water if the current situation is not priced so that they have that incentive? They're getting water at probably too low of a price given the resources that are available right now.
Certainly water pricing is one of the aspects that everyone is paying attention to. And because of the long history in California water and having both federal systems of water delivery and state systems of water delivery and up until recently unregulated access to groundwater, it's created a vast array of inequities in pricing and availability. Bringing that into check could certainly level the playing field. And, you know, as things go forward, certain technologies such as desalination will become more attractive. But quite frankly, there's still a lot of cheap water out there in the agricultural sector. It's not so cheap on the domestic side of things. Once those become a little bit more in balance, certainly we'll see some innovation and some investment in water-saving technologies.
That's Joshua Veers, who is an ecological engineer and the director of Citrus at the University of California, Merced. Professor, thank you for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
And Professor Veers mentioned their desalination. You can link to our reporting on whether that is a real solution to California's drought at hereandnow.org. We've also looked at the idea of building a pipeline. But what do you think? Does it make sense to grow almonds in an historic drought? Let us know at hereandnow.org.